He is Charles Gallant, user experience designer and wizard of wearables.
Oh, boy. He is Aubrey Goodman, information architect, engineer, and champion of charisma.
Oh, that's not... You're too kind. and this is a lovely little show we like to call Distilled. Welcome. As always, you can find us on the side of a munibus hoping to sell you a sweater. Or, that's an advertisement, not actually us, although sometimes you never know. Or, actually, distilledradio.com. You can find Charles at Charles Gallant. There are two L's in Gallant on Twitter. You can find me at Aubrey Goodman, as it sounds. There are no L's in my name. And if you ever really want us to talk about some special topic, you can tweet about it and hashtag it Distilled Topics. We have one on the books, but... we haven't quite got to that. I think we'll get to that maybe a little later this season.
What's that?
That one was the remote, like working remotely.
Oh,
this
yeah.
remote life or okay. that remote life.
Okay.
That remote life. So we'll get to that later.
All right.
But today we're going to talk about wearable technology.
Very exciting.
And, you know, wearables are pretty big these days. They're getting even bigger with the maker movement is really big, and the 3D printing is getting huge. It's just getting more and more available and accessible to the masses, and you know, so we like to champion these kinds of ideas, and we both have a little bit of experience with 3D printing and with wearables, and so we're going to talk about a little bit about that today.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, they fall into a couple of categories. The most popular seems to be the health tracking ones.
Personal and health tracking.
That help you get some kind of an insight into what is going on with your body and how often you work and how often you exercise and things like that.
Yeah, and actually, if you want a little backstory on some of that, we interviewed Tracy Ingram, by we, I mean myself and Justin Davis, last year before Charles joined the show. And he is a, I guess, a startup entrepreneur, CEO of a company called Bioscanner. Bioscan R, I think that's right. You can check that episode out. It's somewhere on the internet. The title was The Tricorder X Prize. So it was a really, really great episode about healthcare, wearables, and the integration of that and how big data applies to the individual. Mm-hmm. But this, I figure we would talk more about, you know, the big story these days, this week anyway, is the Raspberry Pi has a new hardware version that just came out for purchase.
Right, and right. And it seems amazing. You know, it's incredibly powerful. It can run Windows 10. I mean, I think that's a... That's a staggering thing for a $35 computer.
Yeah, that's like your wristwatch running Windows.
Yeah, and that's very exciting. I mean, I think, you know, jumping back a little bit, right now we've seen basic accelerometers that we strap to our, mm-hmm. our wrists and Fitbits, and we yep. clip on things. And, you know, being able to run sort of higher level logic is you know, always exciting and nice to see sort of being departed from our smartphones. I mean, obviously we've been able to carry around very sophisticated you know, devices for a while now, and I hope that being able to run, you know, an otherwise full desktop operating system can sort of help us out. But I don't know. I sort of question how different it is than the capabilities of a mobile platform. You know, I think like being able to run Windows is really awesome and interesting. I think driving a display is also cool, just via, you know, things like USB ports and various input outputs that phones don't have, but I'm not entirely sort of sure what it, you know, what immediate exciting projects can be made with it. You know, every once in a while you hear about things. Like I remember the first time I heard about an Arduino, you know, or the mini Arduino. It's like, oh my God, you could do this with it, you could do that with it. When you hear about drones flying around, it's like, great, you could do this or that. A couple of things immediately come to mind, but the Raspberry Pi, it's an amazing sort of benchmark that we've hit, but I'm not, I don't know. I don't know what we can make with it.
I don't know, but whatever we make with it can be really pretty because it has four GPUs.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I hope that it can drive some sort of display in a otherwise inconvenient place for a display to be driven.
Like the back of a Volkswagen?
I guess, yeah. I don't know.
No, wait, that's an uncomfortable place.
Yeah. but back to wearables, it's interesting because for me, I spent a lot of time thinking about sort of the health tracking piece. And, it's a shame because all of this exciting wearable technology has kind of been lodged into health tracking. And the sad thing about health tracking is that it's tied to our desire for fitness, which, of course, is incredibly fickle.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Comes and goes, in a matter of weeks. And it's just famously difficult for us to stick to and get traction on. And I think the industry has sort of suffered along with that sort of lack of conviction, right?
Well, yeah, it's that classic, everybody's really, really super excited about their health and making positive affirmations and, oh, we're going to totally do this year. And then about February 1st hits and they're like, yeah, that's all shit.
Yeah.
And they quickly drop off. Sorry. Or if you're like me, you just never start. I have a clear understanding of my own laziness. And so I'm just like, I'm not even going to make the resolutions. I'm like, nah, I'm sure I'll be healthier this year. I don't really have any reason to be motivated about it.
Yeah. And I think there's something, fundamentally flawed about the premise of making this giant promise to yourself that, is proven time and time and again to not be the necessarily best way for people to stick to a habit. But people are figuring it out, right? We're starting to crack the code on what it takes to build sort of habit forming experiences, and oddly enough, mobile gaming is one of those places where people are starting to really figure that out, right? And I think that
indeed
hopefully we can reach a place where the software not only takes input from the health tracking sensors but actually takes an active role in trying to get you to fall into a routine and to get invested in these things. And actually the guys at JobOne are doing a great job at trying to merge those two worlds. But I'm not sure if anyone has fully cracked that nut yet.
Yeah.
Being able to see your statistics and visualize what's going on, that's just the first step. It's actually turning that corner and getting not only insights, but actually, synthesizing them in a way that compels you to come back again and again.
Right. It's that classic engagement problem. I can show you stats. I can show you a button that you can click on that will show you how many steps you took yesterday.
Right. But it's still up to me to add that extra layer of, behavioral change onto that. And it's still up to me to be really motivated by that. Whereas if you look at a mobile game, it's something like, Candy Crush or Doodle Jump or Peggle, right? The simplest mobile games, they're famous for taking the simplest of things and making them just completely addicting. Right. And just really compelling to come back to again and again. So I think if somebody can combine those two worlds, I think there's a huge opportunity there.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad you brought up JobOne. The first job I had, or first job offer I had in California was from JobOne, and I summarily turned them down. I still don't really know why I did that. There's a long, long story that I will not tell on the air about that. But yeah, I was going to be working on the team that you're talking about, doing visualization and trying to develop engagement for the individual's personal health. And, this was 2 years ago. So this was, right at the beginning of their sort of launch of the Up product. They were kind of going through a reboot with the hardware had suffered some really nasty recalls. And I guess because apparently people sweat, and so when you have an electronic device on your skin all the time, turns out sweat affects that.
Yeah.
And so they had some issues with
that. It wasn't quite as waterproof as it could have been.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've done a lot better with that in subsequent releases of that. My friend Jeff has even with that, he's like, I sweat profusely. And yeah, I've gone through 4 bands. I'm just, it's not for me.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to do, you know? I mean, it's a device that's it's responsible for communicating this really delicate set of information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't tolerate failure too well when we're talking about how much energy we exerted, how far we moved, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I'm looking for some kind of solution, and some people have tried to do it, that is, thinks about health tracking and wearable technology as a platform, right? There's a couple of people, like someone developed an API called the Human API, and there's these open source projects that are, as far as I can see, struggling to get, you know, widespread adoption and traction. Apple even took a crack at it, right, with their recent sort of health tracking mm-hmm. app. But the thing that excites me are the people who are thinking about tracking from a number of different sensors and a number of different sources and bringing all that together to bring a clear picture to what's going on. Because I don't necessarily think any one company is equipped right now to do it. I think we're going to need to capture input from our phone, capture input from, you know, a Fitbit or a Jawbone device that I'm wearing, from, you know, any number of different other sources, you know, something that's attached to my car that knows how long I've been sitting there, something mm-hmm. on my bike, and sort of aggregate all that in a smart way. But, you know, it's either going to be one giant company that does it, that sells tons of products, or it's going to be a conversation between companies.
Yeah.
Which seems unlikely, right?
Well, I think that's what HealthKit is trying to do.
Right.
I mean, Apple's really, really pushing for this. And, you know, they're also kind of spanning into the luxury market with the Apple Watch. So they're doing typical Apple, you know, try to aim for the impossible and get it mostly right. And I think it's good that they're aiming in this direction, because, you know, there's a huge set of people who are very, very vain, and they love their very expensive watch. And health is kind of important to them, but it's much more important to them to look nice and to be perceived as rich or wealthy, or, you know, successful, yeah, whatever. And so they're kind of bridging that gap by offering this nice, compelling interface on something that is essentially, I mean, how many times in the last 10 years have you heard people, you know, sort of make fun of this digital watch thing?
Right. Like, yeah. I see it as a piece of jewelry, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah,
I
think they do too.
It took me a really long time to, sort of need and want to own a watch. But I do so. I wear a watch that's
one right now.
Extremely simple. That is, I kind of like the way it looks, and that's about it. I kind of have to force myself to look at it, because I still instinctively look at my phone to figure out what time it is.
Reach your hand into your pocket, pull out your phone. Yeah. You're like, look at your watch while you're holding your phone. Like, shit.
Yeah. It's right. Funny, but it's true, you know? And I think that, we still have yet to kind of, think about these things in a really meaningful way outside of the context of a style accessory. Even Jawbone, right? I think a lot mm-hmm. of people wore those as kind of like an advanced, remember those Lance Armstrong bands? You know, people thought it was like, oh yeah, it's like a smart, like, charity band. It even had the same kind of matte finish as one of those things.
Exactly. Yeah, no, they do.
You know, and so it's, you know, Nike Fuel Band's the same way. Nike Fuel Band, you can just shake your hand in the air and it's like, oh, you just did the equivalent of 20 push-ups.
Yep.
You know, and it's, you know, they're fascinating devices, but it's, at the end of the day, like, they're sort of jewelry. And I think some of the wearables really lean into that, right? They're only there to be like a sparkly, interesting little thing that, like, hey, when it's rainy out, I turn blue. And, you know, it's like a mood ring for the future.
Exactly. Mood ring for the future.
A really expensive mood ring.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, my experience with wearables has been, I worked with the, LilyPad Arduino. To make a rave dancing glove that makes colored LEDs based on your movement. And yeah, I mean, it's like, it was super fun. I really had a lot of fun building that.
Do you wear the NyQuil mask to do research?
I don't even know what that means, but
no?
I surely did.
All right, side topic. There's people who put weird, like, cold medicine inside, like, face masks and, like, huff it as, like, an inhalant.
Oh.
And then go to raves and then stare at LED lights while they hallucinate.
I see. That sounds like college.
Read that in a book somewhere. I don't no personal experience with that.
Yeah, of course. Why would you?
It's true.
I mean, obviously not.
Also weird and hilarious, but
yeah,
it's true.
No, yeah, very, you know, it's a similar, it's an interesting subculture, really, I'd say. There's these sort of, what I love to call trustafarians, or people who are sort of rich kids that have lots of money but no idea what they're doing with anything in the world. They never had to try anything, so they never learned anything. So now they have all this money, and they're like, hey, let's go out to a rave or whatever. And, oh, hey, cool, yeah, I heard about this this Arduino thing, so I'm going to go and buy like 20 of those and just figure it out.
Hmm.
And, you know, so then they're like, hey, cool, hey, you know, I should learn this coding thing. So then they get involved in software engineering.
Oh, good for them. You know?
Hey. I mean, it's good. And don't get me wrong. I think any way of getting those people into the workforce is a great, great thing, because they're certainly not going to do it on their own accord. But just this, like the things that some people do with wearables are interesting. I've done some collaborations with other folks on this sort of thing, and I can post some photos later. But it's this really interesting thing, because basically you're walking around with a computer strapped to your body in some form or fashion, and somebody had to write the software for that, whether it was you or you know, some weird geek somewhere, or your dad, or mm-hmm. you downloaded some shit off the internet and just like installed it. Yeah. And you know, that whole space. And now, of course, you know, we're trying to get 3D printers integrated into that workflow, so now you'd not just have a, you know, silly LED thing with an accelerometer and a computer and a battery, but you also have like that plugs into some equipment that you 3D printed with your 3D printer thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. I mean, I think I think we touched on this a little bit in some of the previous shows, but I, you know, as someone who spends a lot of time with digital tools and, you know, in coding environments, in mobile application development and design, it's tough not to be excited about the potential, but I personally am just overwhelmed by the possibilities, right? You know, there's so much that you could do. It kind of brings up this paradox of choice, right? Where there's just,
which do you do first?
Like, all right, I literally have an entire computer that I can carry around with me. That's very cheap. I could buy it right now for the cost of, you know, I don't know, a nice pizza.
Yeah, a nice dinner.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you know, what am I going to do with it? You know, like what could you do?
Yeah, the sky's the limit. Yeah. Literally, in some cases, you know, as some people are even using things like Raspberry Pis and Arduinos for the control systems in a drone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last time we talked about drones, and I think there's a great opportunity for hobbyists to get into this, because it used to be, if you wanted to get into something like that, you would have to go to college, get a degree like I did in aerospace engineering, and hope that you're smart enough to get into a lab that allows you to fuck with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just like as a class,
right?
And
you have to learn like 11 different things. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to understand some basic fundamentals of flight systems, and you have to go and learn software if you didn't already, and you have to understand, like, if you've never done anything with electronics, you have to figure out like what's the soldering thing, like, okay. You know, there's just like a huge set of things you have to learn. And, you know, with the Raspberry Pis and the Arduinos and the bolt-on boards that they offer, it's like, oh, yeah, you need a Bluetooth low energy? Cool. Yeah, plug this board mm-hmm. that you bought for $15 into your Raspberry Pi that you bought for $40. And now you can do essentially right. the same thing you could do with an iPhone or an Android phone. You know, or
yeah, and you can build it on the board, you know.
Yeah,
I think that's you know, the more I think about it, I think that's the biggest potential, is that, like, you know, Arduino has this second step. You develop the software on a computer, you sort of, you know, load it onto the Arduino, right? And, you know, from there you can sort of operate in that world, in that closed box. But now, you know, the same operating system that you might use day to day is the thing that's running on the board. Like, that's going to make it a lot easier for people to, you know, sort of from a beginner's perspective, especially start working with these things. So
yeah,
it's definitely exciting.
Yeah. So it's this sort of awesome intersection of robotics, something that I certainly wanted to play with a lot as a kid. But never, you know, it's such a daunting thing, you know, as a like 12-year-old kid to think like, yeah, I can make a robot. You're like, sure you can, kid. Good for you. But now it's actually real, you know. They go out to the store, they buy a Raspberry Pi, they get a couple of bolt-on sensors, some motors, some LEDs or whatever it is, and now they can make themselves this little robot that'll run around the kitchen floor and scare the dog.
Yeah. Scaring, yeah, and you know, when presented with the reward of scaring an animal, I think we'll find that children will do just about anything.
Yeah, they'll go to Herculean lengths
to scare just a dog.
To scare the dog, or to give the dog a chariot to ride around in.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
Like those really funny photos or videos of the tiny pug dog like sitting on a Roomba,
yep,
terrorizing the other dogs. Or the better ones was the cat on the Roomba terrorizing the dog, just like the Roomba slides over slowly and the dog's staring at the cat sitting on the Roomba. When the cat gets in striking distance, just like smacks the dog for no reason.
Yeah, I think any kind of interesting robot or portable wearable technology has amazing dog and cat potential as well. I definitely knew folks who would just for the day just put the up band on the dog and just let it run around.
Well, you get a lot more steps that way.
Surprise, guys! I got like 20,000 more steps.
Yeah.
Than I otherwise would.
You know, another fun way we were talking about raves earlier. Keeping your phone in your pocket when you go to a rave or a dance party is also a really good way. We had an office holiday party in January, and I had totally forgotten that I had my phone in my pocket. I went home the next day, or I, you know, got up the next day and looked at my step counter, and I thought, "Wow, I went 19,000 steps yesterday." Oh no, it was because we were dancing all night.
Well, that's real though. That's a real,
right? They're real, actual me step movement, yeah, dance things. I don't even. They're not. It's not
spike on the radar, man. That's real calories burned exercise. Yeah. You know?
Although I did see somebody talking about how they had they had forgotten to put their they had their. Like their like a Nike Fit or
Fuel Band,
or yeah, Nike Fuel Band, or Fit is a car, or the Up Band, they had like put it in their pants pocket and put their pants in the washing machine, and so they got like 30,000 steps.
Oh my god! Did it survive? Do you know?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh wow, that's impressive. It's very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, exactly the same thing. I mean, so wearables, that's one other aspect of it, right? You have to design for a system that is probably at some point going to be underwater with, like, you know, soap, some kind of mild abrasive solution that's not just water, right? I mean, you can't just be waterproof anymore. You have to be, like, oven-proof and, you know, dryer-proof and
childproof.
Yeah, mud-proof, yeah. Childproof.
Yeah, it's really funny how, you know, there are a lot of tech startups who are, you know, well-versed in software development, well-versed in creating experiences. You know, the minute you go into, you know, the world of building something physical, you're faced with a totally different rule set, right? And I think that, like, just the weight of something and the size of something implies all kinds of things, right? It implies how breakable it is. It implies how flexible it should be. It implies how heavy it should be. You know, it implies, you know, how many times have you, you know, picked up a new mobile device and said, oh, this is heavier than it looks or lighter than it looks, right? And it feels like that is a vote for or against the product, right? Like those small details matter. And people have wildly different expectations about what's good and bad, you know? So it's really interesting. You know, at the end of the day, if you look at something like the Up Band, right? Like it's did amazing things in terms of, you know, putting the technology that it did in the strap that it did. But, you know, everyone assumed that it would be more waterproof than it was. It was water resistant.
Yeah.
Right. And people didn't forgive it for failing on that front.
No, you know? No, they really didn't. You know, it's like the Casio watch that says waterproof to, you know, 30 feet, 33 feet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see a lot of folks who are like, I'm going to go out and find something that's 40 feet deep and just check that. I'm going to take it. I'm going to go to the bottom of that and just find out because I want to know.
Yeah, people.
Whereas, you know, here, like with this, you know, people are very much, very, like you said, very, very much less forgiving. They're like, you know, I expect it to be sweatproof and never fly off and never break and none of the parts, you know, even though we're talking about like flexible plastic parts that have embedded electronics in them,
yeah.
You know, it has to be absolutely amazing, bendy, but not too bendy,
right. You know,
and never fail and do exactly what I want it to do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at, it reminds me of megapixels and digital cameras, right? You know, for the longest time, that was the measure of, I mean, it still kind of is to a lot of people, of how good a digital camera was, you know, like how many megapixels it has. Forget about like the type of lens or any sort of optical capabilities that it has. You know, it's an easy number for people to sort of line up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, more megapixels means better camera. That was an easy idea to understand. And, you know, over time, it just didn't.
And even then, frankly, it wasn't.
Didn't hold up. Yeah.
You know, it wasn't. Yeah. Because there's color balance, there's the speed of the pixels, the ability, the contrast ratio,
a lot of low light performance, all this stuff.
Low light performance is huge for mobile phones because so many people seem to want to take photos in the club with a flash. It's just silly. Like just don't take photos at like in you're at a Rolling Stones show and you're in seat triple F. And there's 20,000 people sitting in front of you between you and Mick Jagger, but yet you seem to think that your flash is going to carry it all the way to the stage and illuminate Mick Jagger in that, you know, just right way. No, it's not going to happen. You're going to take a picture of the guy in front of you's bald spot. That's what's going to happen.
Yep.
And nothing in, but dust, like dust flying in the air.
Unless that's your thing, you know.
Maybe. I'm sure there's a lot of guys with bald spots at Rolling Stones.
Maybe that's why you went to that concert. Yeah.
Yeah, you're trying to fit in.
Oh, no. Boy.
So I feel like we in the last three minutes here, let's do a lightning round. 5 years from now, how many personal wearable devices will you own, Charles?
So I have to respond very quickly, and I can't stall by asking a question about the nature of the lightning round itself.
True.
Okay. Do I have to list all the devices? Or
you're wasting time.
I know. I mean, you didn't tell me about a lightning round, dude. I could have known about the round itself.
Next time you'll know.
I'll own, in the next 5 years, yeah, I'll have a phone and one other thing. I don't know what that thing is. It's an amulet I wear around my neck. It's only responsible.
Does it give you superpowers?
It's only responsible for lighting up when my dog farts in her sleep.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll have that.
It's going to be waking you up a lot.
I'll have that tracked. All right. How about you, Aubrey? How many wearable devices will you own?
I suspect I will own like zero just because I'm that guy. No, I don't know. You know, it's like we talk about the, you know, there's been a lot of conversation about the Apple Watch. It's like, will you buy an Apple Watch? And I thought, yeah, if it was like $75, I'd probably buy it. But then they released the price and it was like $375. And I thought, fuck that. I'm buying that shit. But you never know. I might buy one. I'd like to believe that we'll also have things like implants. So it won't just be wearable thing like a wristband or a watch. Or, you know, something like that. It'll be built into your sweater. You know, you'll have a belt, like a Batman belt with I don't know, magical sensors in it that detect things like your blood glucose or your
a belt buckle that gently pricks you in the stomach several times throughout the day.
Yes. Just persistently. It's always
stabbing you.
Every moment of every day.
I like that.
Yeah, so we'll call it the stabby belt. No, that would not sell, I don't think. I mean, maybe among certain circles, but no, I think it'll be something way more integrated into life. Like we won't even necessarily think about it. It'll be something you invest in once, and you know you get like a subdermal patch, or you get I don't know. It'll be in your shirt, or in your underwear. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, let's hope it's awesome. Whatever it is, let's hope it's great.
Whatever it is, yeah. So, all right, folks. That'll do it for us for this week. This has been Distilled. Thanks for listening.